So my name's Kenny. I think most of you know me here. Have we got anybody that's new, that's passing through here today? You? Where are you from, love? You're from Gungahlin? Is this your first time here? Oh, welcome. Let's give her a hand. Let's welcome her. Thank you. And your son as well? Wonderful. Well, Mary and Isaac. Well, welcome, Mary and Isaac, to lovely biblical names, and I hope and pray that you'll be blessed by fellowshipping with us and worshipping with us here this morning. Okay, so have you had a good week?
Yes.
Been good?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think summer's here?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Don't hold your breath. That's all I say. I think the weather forecast is that there's more rain coming. So. We'll see anyway. So it's my pleasure to lead you in worship this morning, and Joanne will be helping out as well. And we got good old Bill here on the piano, and I'm sure he's going to do well. And then a little later, Sam's going to be sharing the Word of God with us from 1 Samuel. And the theme this morning is on prayer. And of course, prayer is a very important part of our lives as Christians, isn't it? So I'd just like to commence this morning by reading you a psalm. I love the Psalms. Probably in the Bible, the Psalms is what I've read the most in my 40 years now being on the Christian walk. The whole 150 Psalms that we have, and I may have read them right through, I don't know, 20, 30 times, and I find that I just keep going back to the Psalms and just reading. There's just so much inspiration there. And this is one of my favourite Psalms. I can't really pinpoint which one is my favourite, but this is definitely one of my favourite Psalms because it's David and the account with Bathsheba. And I love it because it's so raw and it speaks to me as a broken human being. And when I read this account and particularly David and what he did in his response to it, I'm really inspired by it. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost places. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, O Lord, and blot out all of my iniquity. And here is the main cusp of this psalm. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And of course, alrighty. Now, I just want to share with you great songs in here, great hymns and some stories that go with them, because most old hymns have a story that are behind them. And, you know, This was from September the 27th, and when I had it again, it reminded me of this particularly great hymn. And since our theme is on prayer this morning, I thought that it would be appropriate for us just to briefly look at this morning. And the scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, and it says, "Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done for you. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, unfortunately for me, because I'm my mother's son, I'm a worrier. My wife is not a worrier. Nothing seems to worry my wife except me. But I am a worrier, and unfortunately that's my DNA. But you know, this is a great scripture because it's really true, isn't it? That we are encouraged not to worry about anything, instead to pray about everything, and that includes the small things. The larger things we often pray about, but you know, God wants us to pray about the smaller things as well, because he's interested in every aspect and area of our lives. And when we look at the world and, what is it, 6.8 billion people on the planet and all the chaos that's going on in the world, we sometimes get lost in that, don't we? And we think we're small and insignificant. But to God, we're not. We are important to him, and every aspect of our lives is important to him, both large and small. So we can take encouragement from that. And when we talk to him, to know that he wants to hear our prayers and he answers our prayers. And when we thank him for that, what does it say here? We will experience God's peace. So when we pray and we leave it at the feet of God, we experience that peace of God. Do you find that? You find that when you just lay it at the altar and say, Lord, it's really in your hands, and we can you know, come away from it, and we get that peace, and that's that supernatural experience of the Holy Spirit, of course, and we know that. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus, Christ in me, hope of glory. And so here's the thought. Not far from Port Hope, Ontario, stands a monument with this inscription. 4 miles north in Bengali Cemetery lies the philanthropist and author of this great masterpiece, which I will share with you in a moment. Written at Port Hope in 1857, above the inscription are the words of this beloved hymn. Joseph Scriven, its author, was a man who had experienced the friendship of Jesus through a life filled with personal tragedy. When Scriven was a young man in Ireland, his fiancée accidentally drowned the evening before their wedding. Soon after this, he set sail for Canada, a broken man. He seemed destined to live his life alone with Jesus as only his close friend, he said. Scriven never intended to publish this hymn. He wrote the words to accompany a letter to his mother, who was ill in far off Ireland. He had no material resources to send her, only a reminder that the most perfect of friends, Jesus Christ himself, was and is nearby. And of course, you imagine in the 1800s, when you're in Canada and your mum's in Ireland, it's not a case of just jumping on a plane and going and seeing her, isn't it, on her deathbed. It's a 6-9 month boat journey. And so he sent this letter, which is really became a hymn, and it's 3 verses, and this is what it says. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And finally, verse 3. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. So makes you really appreciate these hymns a lot more when you understand where they're coming from, doesn't it? But doesn't that sound like your life and my life? You know, we're cumbersome by many things in life. Well, we know that prayer is always available, you know, there for us to choose to use, and it is our vital breath to God. Let us be encouraged by that this morning. Amen. Yes, we do thank you, Lord, for our prayers this morning as we lay them at your feet, as we have come into your throne room, into the Holy of Holies, to commune with you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sit there, the right-hand side of God, our Father, mediating on our behalf. That you're telling Father God what great people we are. That we love you, that you love us. And we know that it's not about our greatness, it's all about what you've done for us on Calvary, your death and your resurrection. And by faith, we have received that, received you into our hearts. We've acknowledged you by word and deed as our Lord and Saviour. And we thank you for the free gift that you've given us, salvation and eternal life. We thank you also, Lord, that you've given us each other. We have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, with us, in us, around us. And you've given us each other as well to encourage and to uplift each other and to be a help and a support to each other as the body of Christ, as we, your people here on earth. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we thank you that you are in our midst and that you are with us always. We each have different needs, Lord, here this morning. You know our needs. You know our struggles. You know what they are. We know that we're weak. And without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So we thank you that you are our strength, you are our rock, that we stand upon you, that we're anchored to you, and we are anchored to you forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that by faith, faith alone, that you have given us all things. And so, Lord, pray this morning that you would meet each of our needs, that your Holy Spirit would again bring comfort and reassure us that you're with us, and no matter what we may be dealing with or coping with at the moment, that you're going to bring us through victoriously. For we serve a victorious God. We serve the risen Lord. And you have won all things for us. And that you have defeated the enemy on the cross, that he has no power or authority over us. And that you even defeated the last enemy, which was death. And so we thank you for life and eternal life. We thank you for the life that you've given us here to live for you. And Lord, I pray that we will be found to be faithful and diligent in doing your will and endeavouring to take the great commission to the world we live in and to speak the gospel to the people who you bring across our path and to make you known to them all. So Lord, in all things we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we ask that you'll accept our prayers and the offerings of our heart this morning. In the name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. So we're now going to hear a testimony, and I'd like to invite Dowan to come up here, please. Dowan, what is it? What was that? Show me, what was it?
Kids time.
Kids time, oh yeah. Well, sort of. Yeah, no kids time this morning. But I've asked Dowan to share her testimony, and I only asked Dowan if she would do this about an hour ago. So she's a good sport, and I'm sure that we're going to be blessed by what she has to say. Thank you, Dowan.
I suppose it's because God does wonderful things in your life all the time. And two things I hang on to is that God is good. God is always good. No evil can come from God. And the second is that I believe in prayer. And Duncan and I found ourselves finishing up a wonderful holiday where we'd travelled down the Rhine and visited cities. We'd ended up going through Switzerland and we'd ended up in Italy in a beautiful place called Lake Como. And we were heading back home. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, Duncan gets a text that says, "Your flight has been cancelled." Nothing about what we could do about it, where we could go, whether or not they were going to give us another flight, or what. Just that text, "Your flight has been cancelled." And so, of course, you think, here I am. I wouldn't have mind staying in Como, but here I am in Como, and no way of getting home. So what does one do when one is in difficulties? One prays. And so I sort of said, well, Lord, you know where I am. You know what the circumstances are. I know that you will get us home. And I prayed for grace because you can lose your temper quite easily in these situations. And I prayed for strength for Duncan because he was going to have to do all the hard work of the phone calls and organising finances, etc. So we made our way down to Milan and we caught a plane, would you believe, to Dublin. Now, when we got to Dublin, we were going to Los Angeles. We went around the world in about 4 days. But before we could get to Los Angeles, we had to fill in a form which is called an ESTA form, because America won't let you in until this has been done. And we hadn't done it, so we weren't even allowed to get out of Dublin Airport. We had to sit in a waiting room. And a lovely Irish girl turned around and said, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. We will do our best to get you onto the onto your flight." And you know, as I sat there and prayed, a great peace came over me that sort of said, "Yeah, don't worry." And so we didn't. We had to wait for this ESTA form to be completed and filled in and sent to America and then responded. And in so doing, we would have missed our flight, except our flight was delayed by an hour. And the lovely Irish girl said, "And then they have to get all the luggage off, so that gives you a bit more time. Then they have to clean it." So she said, "We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll get you there." And sure enough, the Esters came through, and I think we had to walk about 3 kilometres to find our boarding spot, but we managed to get on. Now, in that time, it was quite fraught with various things that happened to us. But, you know, there was a peace and a security in knowing that God's hand was upon that situation. And although I don't really want to go for it again, I don't think I want to sit in an aeroplane for a long, long time as a result of the circumstances in which we found ourselves. But, you know, God works through difficult situations to show you that he loves you, that he cares for you, and that he's in control. And I thank God that this is true for me every day of my life, that I can rely on a God who is love and who only ever wants the highest and best for my life.
Thank you, Dallin, for sharing that. And that's great testimony, isn't it? It's really what Corinthians was reminding us about earlier on there in our scripture reading, wasn't it? That God is faithful and that he does want us to pray. Praying in those challenging times, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people around the world praying at the moment at airports, because we were talking about that this morning in the men's group, weren't we, that there's a lot of delays and different things going on, and so I'm sure that a lot of people are praying more than ever. But it's, you know, to pray in those difficult times, but also to pray in the good times. You know, when everything's going well, you know, to thank God for those things as well in our lives. We're now going to have our scripture reading. Thank you, Joanne. I'll just move my stuff off here for you.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, commencing at verse 9, and I'll read through to the end of the chapter. So 1 Samuel, chapter 1, commencing at verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Anna prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best for you, her husband Elkanah said. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading this morning.
Morning, everyone. How are we today? As such. Hannah is one of my favourite Bible verses. Those that don't know me, Dom and I, our first child is named Hannah. And one of the reasons why Hannah has her name is not only is she a gracious gift, but I was told from a very young age that I would probably never have children. It runs in our family, and being the first girl, usually the first girl doesn't have children. There's just something in our genetic past. And so I went through thinking that I was never going to have children. I never had any problems, but when you've had that instilled in your life, that is something that you live with. Anyway, we've had no problems. We've had three kids, actually. But Hannah was one of the names that I always thought, if I have a little girl, I'm going to name them Hannah. So our gracious gift is now 17. But I love the story of Hannah and prayer. Now, if you know me well, you will know that prayer is part of my life. I've lived from knowing from quite a young age that I need to pray. And it's a part of my living. Now, most of us have that routine, yeah? Most of us would sit here today and say we have some type of routine around prayer. Whether it's regular, whether it's just every now and then, or when something bad happens, we all have some type of prayer that we perform or do or have. Now, I'm going to try and read with my glasses, but I'm going to apologise if not, because I have to wear a mask, and they fog up if you ever, and it's done it straight away. Okay. Let me see if I can do this. Aha, maybe. See, I believe that there's two types of prayer. You can pray generally. So, Lord, may all the people in the whole world love each other. That's a general prayer, right? Yeah? It's fine. We need to be praying for the world to love each other so that the wars and the fighting will stop. However, it is general. Something that is hard to measure, and really, other than praying, you can't do it very much. You don't see very many results from a general prayer. However, a specific prayer. Lord, help me to love my husband better and show a love that speaks your name to the people that I come in contact with in my day to day. This would be a specific prayer, yeah? A prayer where you're going to see results. A prayer where you can see God working, yes? This is the type of prayer that I believe that God wants us to pray for. This is the type of prayer that we see Hannah praying. See, when I read 1 Samuel, I see Hannah in a not-so-good place. Yes, she has a husband that adores her, and she wants for nothing. But there's this deep desire in her life to have children. A desire that when we read her story, this desire is not going to go away, is it? It's going to be something that she's going to carry. And to make things worse, Hannah's husband's second wife can have children. And maybe that might have been enough to have some kids running around that she'd be able to help look after. But we see it's not. But for Hannah, it's a source of teasing and ridicule. However, we see Hannah do something called counterculture. We see her pray, and not just a general prayer, but a specific prayer. The type of prayer that I believe that Matthew talks about later in Matthew 7:7. See, Matthew says, "Keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened." There are three words from the verse that I think are really important. We need to keep asking. We need to keep looking, and we need to keep knocking. When we ask for something specific, and you are looking for something specific, and you're knocking on a specific door, God says the doors will be opened. 1 Samuel 1:12 states that she kept on praying to the Lord, and her prayers were not just a one-time event, but she prayed with an intensity and focus. It says she poured her soul before the Lord. God calls for us to be persistently praying for strength, wisdom, and petition our request with consistency, confidence, and steadfastness. When things are not going to plan or the outcome is not what we would like, it's easy to stop praying, to stop believing that God, and to believe that God has abandoned us. Praying to God persistently deepens our relationship with God and is an act of worship and surrender. When we pray, we acknowledge that we are not in control and are welcoming God's sovereignty. Today, I invite you to not lose heart and continue to pray persistently to God. Surrender every emotion, doubt, fear, and anxiety over to Him. God welcomes us like a loving parent and hears us through prayer. See, if I had a health concern, I don't go to a lawyer. I speak to a doctor, yes? If I have a car problem, I don't go to a cook, do I? I go to a mechanic. You have to go to this person that knows about the problem, the person that's trained to do the job that you need. Hannah knew this when she went to the temple. She goes to a room to pray, a place in the tabernacle designed for prayer. And she begins to pray. Now, it says that when Hannah prayed, no words came out. You've probably seen people pray like that today, yeah? Some of us do it constantly. But in ancient Israel, most people prayed out loud. It was very unusual for someone to pray silently. So when Eli, the high priest of the temple, sees Hannah praying, he goes and asks her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." Eli thinks she's drunk. Now think for a minute how it must feel to be Hannah at this moment. You're forced to go to the You're forced to go to the temple 3 times a year to give thanks. You're reminded every day that you have no children. You are teased by your rival for being childless. And now you are accused of being drunk by the high priest. It can't get much worse for Hannah. So when Eli goes up to Hannah to ask her about her drinking habits, Hannah doesn't lash out at him like you or I might have, because I'm telling you I would have. Instead, she explains she is sad. "Not so, my lord," Hannah replies. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." Hannah explains that she was praying to God because her heart was so sad. Let's look at what Hannah prayed and discover something really amazing about her prayer. In Hannah's prayer to God, we see her address God by a name that hasn't been used at this point in the Old Testament. Hannah uses the name Lord of Hosts to address God, a name that refers to God's power and his access to anything or anyone he wishes to use. But if we look at his name, the name of God in another translation, it reads, "God of the angel armies." This is what Hannah calls God. She says, "God, your name is God of the angel armies." Think about it for a minute. We all know what an army is, right? We can picture in our heads. Now imagine instead of ordinary men and women making up an army, that the entire force is made up of angels. God is leading the charge, but behind him is an army of angels. What an amazing idea. God is so big and so powerful that he leads an army of angels. When Hannah talks to God about what's on her heart, she addresses God not as someone who might be able to help. No, Hannah talks to God as the ultimate power, the one with all the strength, the God of angels' army. Hannah knows that when she specifically prays, God's going to answer. Maybe you've heard the word Almighty before. That's another way this name of God is translated. God being almighty is like God being in charge of an angel army. He has all the power. God is the ultimate. He's the greatest. He's the best. He's the almighty. I know about you, but when I pray, I want to have that conviction that Hannah had, knowing that the almighty God is going to come through. As we continue to grow in our relationship with God and spiritual maturity, God does not want us to sugarcoat where we are. At times, we may believe that God can't handle the weight of our situation. However, in our greatest season of strife and despair, God's desire for us is to draw close to Him. God can handle every weight, burden, uncertainty, or fear we have. When words are not adequate, Romans 8:26 states, "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." God's great love for us covers us each day. Surrender all to the Lord and allow God to move in and through you and your circumstance. What a powerful verse. We don't know what we need or want, but God does. What a great motivator to remember, no matter where I am in life, God has the answer. There is one point, part in Hannah's story that has changed since Jesus came to save us. And that is, we don't have to go to a specific place or see a person to pray. We have God 24 hours a day or night or year round. Who has a mobile phone with them? Hopefully it's turned off. I want you to get it out. Now, I heard a story the other day on YouTube. A pastor went to use this, and as he got it out, his mum rang. I'm hoping that doesn't happen today because mine is on silent, but if it does ring, I'm sorry. But he got it out. But I love this analogy, okay? What do we use our mobile phones for? Communicate. What else? Play games, yeah? Calendar, yeah. Photos, Google Maps. I'm glad someone said that because I'm about to use that. There's tons of things we can use this for now, isn't it? It's become like part of us. I don't know about you, but mine's attached to me most of the time. There's times when it's not. It's known in our family, if you want one of us, you ring Dom, and he'll usually hand his phone to me because I sometimes forget where mine is. But most of the time, we're attached to these things, aren't we? Okay, I want you to use these as, when you look at this, I want it to be a reminder of prayer. And you're going, huh? How does this work? All the things that we've just said this phone are for, that we do on our, however, I wonder when you look at the mobile, hold on, let me, okay, I want to give you an example of how you can do this. Sorry, I lost my place. I rely on my phone all the time for directions. Now, if you know me or if you know my husband, he will tell you I've got no sense of direction. And most of the time, if I tell you to go somewhere, I'll point in the wrong direction, and Dom's usually moving my hand as I'm pointing because I have no sense of direction. I will live by that. So I use my phone for direction. So I use Maps. Maps on my phone is the one app that I'm constantly using. Actually, Dom tried to get me to use some other app and I can't get used to it. I use Maps, okay, constantly. So, the next time that I use this phone for directions in my map, I'm going to try to remember to pray. So as I'm typing in, I'll remember to pray. So I can either pray for where I'm going and what I'm going to meet at the other end. I can pray for directions in my life. I can pray that maybe that as I drive there, the people that I pass have a sense of peace. It can be a general or specific prayer, it doesn't really matter. But I'm going to try to remember every time I get my phone out for directions to pray. Next time I use my phone to talk to someone, I'm going to try to remember to pray specifically for that person. And maybe when I'm talking to them, I can ask them, do they need to be prayed for? Do you get what I'm getting at? Something that is in my life all day hopefully will become a tool to remind me to pray. See, because just like we use a mobile phone anywhere, these days we have the power to pray anywhere. God wants to be in a conversation with us. We just need to remember to pray and open up the lines of communication. Hannah's story is a powerful one of strength, courage, persistent prayer, an unwavering commitment to seeking God's face. She faced challenging circumstances, felt discouraged and angry with God. But despite her challenges, feelings of rejection and abandonment, she did not stop praying. She prayed when she was unsure if she would ever have children, and she prayed when God blessed her with a son. If you are in a season of ongoing adversity, challenges, or opposition, I invite you to be encouraged by Hannah's story and her resilience in seeking God. Continue to be persistent in prayer. Surrender all your emotions to God. Remember God's faithful, and speak victory despite opposition. Prayer is a powerful tool that God wants us to use to stay connected with Him. Strengthen our spiritual maturity and use as a weapon to overcome the tactics of the enemy. When adversity comes, the good news is that God desires for us to draw closer to Him, and we are victorious through Jesus Christ. No? What a great thing that we have is prayer, that connection. Will you join me as we pray now? Lord, at times we forget to bring ourselves to you honestly. And even though you already know what we are going through, we still choose to try and hide where the bitterness and anxiety rest. Please help us to be people that pray like Hannah, to leave nothing out and earnestly seek you and everything that lays in our heart, good and bad. Lord, help us to be people that specifically pray for the needs of our lives, knowing that you will answer. Help our hearts to be ready for your answer and to know that the plan that you have for us is perfect and you know all our needs. Help us to trust you like Hannah, knowing that even in the hard times, you have it under control. All we need to do is honestly come before you and trust you with our whole being. Let Hannah's example be a reminder this week of the way that we need to pray. We ask this in your name. Amen. I have the pleasure of finishing the meeting. I just want to remind you, thank Bill, Kenny and Joe for putting this meeting together. We would be lost without them, so thank you for doing that. Dom, Emma and Anne and the three kids get back sometime this afternoon. Pray for them because I know that Dom's tired and he's got a big day tomorrow. So pray for him. He's got some stuff that he's got to come back and do here tomorrow. So pray for him. We'll pray for all three of them because I'm sure they're tired. And being mums, it doesn't stop when you get home. You don't rest. I'm sure they're going to be walking into a household full of activity, so remember to pray for them. Do you want to stand? And I will give the benediction. The benediction today is found in 1 Samuel 1, 7-18, and it's actually the words of Eli that he said to Hannah. So go in peace, and the love of God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked him for. Amen. Have a great week, guys.